The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and are not those of Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements of any radio show programs or products mentioned on air, on our website, social media accounts and marketing materials. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.
Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Soronto.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome back to The Songwriter Show. I'm your host, Sorantos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are so important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe in my heart that every song is a story. The Songwriter Show is broadcast live on number one ranked Pesmo Radio, and has listeners in all 206 countries in the world, and every state in the U.S. The station is licensed with ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and SoundExchange, and has partnerships throughout the music industry, including iHeartRadio and exposure to over 300 million listeners. Tonight's guest is Randy Hobler. Randy is a composer who wrote the book, lyrics, and music for the musical The Spirit of River City, which is about the youth of Meredith Willson, whom he has met twice, and who wrote The Music Man. It's a fantasy look back as the elder Meredith Willson goes back in time to try to influence his 16-year-old self about what to avoid in life. The songs are all highly melodic and inspired by Meredith Willson, of course.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Randy. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, thank you, Toronto. Great good.
Great to have you on the show, my friend. So, very interesting bio. Tell us a little bit about how you met Meredith Willson, I guess.
Well, it turns out that my grandfather was working at Benton & Bowles, and he was in charge of the Maxwell House radio show in the 1930s, and he hired Meredith Willson to be the conductor for the show. This is well before The Music Man. This is 30 years before The Music Man. And he got to be good friends with him, and my father, who was an aspiring composer himself, got to meet him and got to know him really well. And so we were able to visit him at his home in Los Angeles, and once he came to visit us at our home in Princeton, New Jersey.
Wow, that's really cool.
Oh yeah, fun thing. We were in his home in Los Angeles, and he said, "Randy, come over here. Let me show you something." He takes me over to the bedroom, and on the wall there's this framed piece of like music. And I said, "What's that?" He says, "Well, if I get an idea in the middle of the night, I write it down." And I did this once. And I wrote it down. I fell asleep, but I saved it. And what it was bum 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 bum.
Wow, that's cool. What was the most fascinating thing that you took from reading him?
Reading books about him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. well, he had long before he was in. First of all, he had a fascinating backstory that just people don't know. He was in John Philip Sousa's band. He was a flute player and a fife player in the band. And he used to go all over the place. He has all these funny stories about some guy who was a clarinet player who never played, but John Philip Sousa never noticed because he just pretended he was playing. So he traveled and did, barnstormed all over the United States. He went later to a Juilliard school, and then he was in radio. He got started in radio in San Francisco, so he did radio programs for many years. And he wrote a big hit song in 1950, "May the Good Lord Bless and Keep You," which was his mother's favorite expression, which was done by the Andrews Sisters and Bing Crosby. This was again 5 years even before The Music Man started. So he's had a very fascinating life.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what got you down this road of music and books and all this kind of stuff.
Well, for some reason, when I was 4 years old, I started picking out chords on the piano and playing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, but with chords and things when I was a kid. So my father said, hey, maybe we should give this kid lessons. So it gave me these lessons with this guy, but he wanted me to do this classical music. Well, when you're 4 or 5 years old, you don't know what classical music is and you don't appreciate it. And then he said, oh, well, let's try this kind of song. Let's do Westerns. And so he'd make me play Red River Valley. And it's boring and stuff. Well, I was only 5 years old. I didn't know that in my heart, what I love to do would be pop songs and catchy songs like that, like, you know, Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, whatever it might be in the day. So I quit. And then when I was 14 years old, I took up because there was the Kingston Trio and the folk music and, you know, Peter, Paul and Mary and all that stuff was starting. So I took up banjo and I took up guitar, and that got me into that. And then I started doing that at high school, and we had our own high school band. And then I did the same thing in college, and we had a band where we were known as the Live Jukebox, and we play 5-part harmony with the Beatles and the Beach Boys and all that kind of stuff. So, all of that sort of built up over the years. And then what I would do for fun over the years is compose things like partner songs for birthdays and anniversaries and weddings and things like that, where you compose a song that's going to rhyme with, you know, happy birthday. But when you first hear it, all you're hearing is the rhyme of it. You don't realize it. And then there's a surprise at the end where you sing it in harmony with, you know, I did that with my sisters.
When you looked at the most influential moment in your life in your younger years, say grammar school, teenage years, what comes to mind?
Wow. Like most influential thing of anything? In other words, not just music?
Yeah. How about both? How about anything? And then how about music?
Oh, okay. Well, influential. Well, I was blessed to have great teachers when I was a kid. We had this one English teacher who was very inspiring, and he was funny. He was like Jonathan Winters. He was very funny. And he made teaching entertaining. And later, when I was in the Peace Corps, I also tried to make the learning, you know, entertaining. I was very blessed to have some guy who was my math teacher in high school, who turned out later on to get, you know, rated as the best, you know, high school, you know, math teacher in the country. And he would, you know, he'd have two or three blackboards filled with, you know, all of a sudden he'd be just, you know, he'd take the chalk and he'd put the chalk in one palm and hit it with his hand. It would fly in the air and he'd catch it and spin around, and then he'd be doing things and calling people out. Very, very inspiring. And then in college, I was lucky enough to have a guy who ended up later on being the Librarian of Congress. He was fluent in Russian, and he was the top guy in his class in college. And he went to Russia for 5 years and taught, you know, history in Russia to these guys. And he would get up without notes, and not only, you know, be very entertaining and very deep about learning history and so forth, but he would make all these funny little comments. Very, you know, he'd say, oh, now let's look at the smorgasbord of this revolution and things like that. So I think over time I was very inspired. Oh, in terms of music, I was lucky enough in college to have this guy who had perfect pitch, and he was a concert pianist. And he taught us harmony. And I've kept all those, how to do all the harmony the rest of my life, and how to sing it and how to write it. And he once was, because he had perfect pitch, he was doing a performance at a concert, a piano performance in Philadelphia. And he was going to do this piece in B major, but the piano was off key by a half tone. And so to him, it sounded like B flat.
Yeah.
And so he proceeded with the sheet music to transpose the entire thing on the fly.
Wow. There are some super talented people out there, I've realized.
Oh, yeah. And I am not worthy. There's a guy who's a classmate of mine in school who is amazing. I play, you know, piano by ear, but he plays piano by ear, but he's just way, way, way above my pay grade. And I met with him 40 years later in his home up in Connecticut, and I played some of the songs from my show on a CD. And he said, oh, let me play that for you. And he had perfect pitch, but he also had perfect memory, and he just played the entire song with all kind of chords and stuff right off the top of his head. Just amazing person.
Yeah, that is amazing. If you could tell us about your most influential music teacher, something musical, who would it be?
I think the most influential, not that he's some great, you know, guy, but I mean, I flunked physics in high school, and I had to take some other course, and I took guitar lessons. And up until then, I just knew cowboy chords. And this guy was a professional guitarist, and he showed me all the movable chords and the, you know, flatted fifths and flatted ninth chords and all this kind of stuff and chord melody. This stuff, I didn't even know this stuff existed.
Yeah.
And he was a great teacher too. He was very patient and very, very, you know, encouraging.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Is your family musical?
My father was musical, and he played piano by ear, so he was very good at that. My godmother was played by ear also professionally, also by ear, and she played, always in the key of F sharp, which is, of course, for anybody who knows music, that's all the black keys. It's the hardest key to play in. But she would play, you know, you name the song, she could play it and beautifully in F sharp. So those are the two people in my family that I was inspired by musically.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your ambition the next year. You got anything special planned?
In terms of music, because I'm working on music as well. Actually, I'm just in the middle of finishing. I do these you know, one-off things. And there's a famous, you know, novelty song from the 1950s called Hello Mudda, Hello Fada. And you know, I don't know if you know that. It's where the guy takes this music and he pretends he's calling. It's a letter from camp. And he says, Hello Mudda. Hello, Father.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I remember that.
It's a classic song. So I was in the Peace Corps in Libya. So now I'm doing a version of it where, Hello, Mother. Hello, Father. All the sand here is a lot of, and it goes on and on. So I'm doing a song like that. And then I'm going to do a YouTube video of that and have it sung by camels. And the camels are named Humpy, Lumpy, and Dumpy because I was in Libya in the Peace Corps. And so I did three-part harmony for that, and we're going to put it on YouTube, and it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about this song we're going to hear now. What influenced it? What inspired it? What do you want us to take from it?
Well, boy, it's like writing. You have to rewrite and rewrite and rewrite it, and you have to approach something and try to think of the right way to do it. So in any musical, what you want to do, there's certain standard kinds of things in musicals, like the complaint song and the ballad and the 11 o'clock song and so forth. So this was a song that I wanted to be a faux gospel song, so that I knew that. But I didn't really know how gospel songs, you know, went, you know, what was their sort of chord structure and so forth. So I had to listen to a whole bunch of them. Then I realized how it was done. And there are these places where they throw diminished chords in there and stuff. And so I knew now what the structure of it was. And then if you're writing a musical, it's got, I think I said, you said this in some place, you're talking about stories are so important. You know, it's not just that the song has to be a story, but the song has to fit really, really well, not just okay, but it has to fit really well with the show, with the story. So this situation is one where young Meredith Willson is, he's run away from home because he did run away from home when he was little. He runs away from home and he hops on this car, this freight car, and he gets off at Omaha Station. This is like 1929. And he runs into Louis Armstrong, who was in this band called the Hot Jive, you know, five guys and so forth. And Louis Armstrong has taken him under his wing. And he says, hey, man, you know, music is really important. And, you know, people's lives are really important. And music just sometimes, you know, people, it keeps them alive. And plus he makes the reference to how people who were slaves in the cotton fields and how the only way they could get by was music. Without that music, they would just be stifled. So I knew that this had to be the song somehow. And so I worked and worked and worked on the lyrics. I worked and worked and worked on the music and, you know, in parallel. And I was trying to think for a new way to kind of organize the song for the catch, for the hook. And, you know, I didn't get it. I kept working and working. And then finally I realized, because you know how you, there are certain kinds of phrases that we use in English that don't make any sense. You know, it's like, aren't you? It should be, are you not, right? And so forth. And so, or aren't I, you know, aren't I? It should be, am I not? So there's this thing in English where I came up with, and I finally realized, and it kind of turned out this universe, when I thought of it finally, it was a universal thing. And I came up with the title, Thanks Be for Music. Now, normally you don't use that word be like that, right? But Thanks Be for Music, it just caught and it was so perfect. And that's where I came up with it. And, you know, we performed, we had it, you know, recorded, we had it performed by various people. And the real key to it was when I went out to Fairfield, Iowa to have 11 performances of this musical going, I had no idea what was going to go on. I was in the back taking notes on everything. And, you know, it comes to the end of the first act and they're going to do this Thanks Be to Music. And all of a sudden, oh, the audience just went nuts. They started dancing in the aisles, little kids, teenagers, old, 80-year-olds. And I didn't know it was that great a song, but boy, when I saw how the audience reacted and they just whistled and stamped their feet at the end, I said, wow, this is one good song.
Cool. All right. I'll tell you what, let's take a listen to it, Randy, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more, okay?
Okay.
Sometimes when you're real sick, music can be the one thing between you and the deep under. When you're heaving, let song lie the load. When you're hauling, let song show the load. When you're picking, let song brace up your back. When you're plowing, let song take up the slack. Thanks, thanks, thanks be to music. Thanks, thanks, thanks be to song. Thanks, thanks be to music. Thanks, thanks be to song. When you're troubled, sing out to ease the pain. When the storm strikes, sing out in the rain. When there's sorrow, and tears won't stay away. Let sweet
music
help you through the day. Thanks, thanks, thanks be the music. Thanks, thanks, thanks be the song. Thanks, thanks be the music. Thanks, thanks be the song. When you're empty, and you ain't got no peace, let song give your time's already. When you
thank you,
can't stand it no more. Let song
show you what's a life is for.
Thanks, thanks be the music. Thanks, thanks be the song. Clap and slap and tap. All right, let's see what you got over there.
That was an interesting song, Randy. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Yep, you're welcome.
Is there someone, when you look at the landscape now, public, private, is there someone that you would love to collaborate with?
Oh, well, Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney. Mr. Paul. Yeah, that's a great.
And I think he there are some exceptions, but I think he needs a collaborator. I mean, the greatest Beatles songs were those where he and John Lennon, you know, worked together. There was that chemistry between the two of them. So I think he needs a collaborator. So I'm available.
You're available. Yeah. Well, Sir Paul, you know, if he's listening, please feel free to reach out. All right. How do you get your songwriting going? Do you start with lyrics, melody, drum groove? What's your secret sauce?
What I've been doing, sometimes I'll have some sort of groove or some sort of idea. In fact, I have this little tape recorder, and when I get a sort of catchy idea or a melody line or something, I'll record it. So I've got hundreds and hundreds of those that I've saved, and then I try to listen to them, see which ones kind of hold up. But when I'm doing the musical, because it's so story driven, I'll work on the lyrics first. And what I'll do is, for a given song, I'll just do creative brainstorming, and I'll do 18 pages of just notes and just stream out as many ideas as I can get. Because what about this? What about that? All kinds of ways of approaching the song, and lyric ideas and thinking ideas and character ideas and, thinking it all through, and then, you know, looking at it all and say, oh, this is a good part here. And then just taking all the pieces that are good and start using, you know, Word, just cutting and pasting and moving them all up to the front. And then, okay, what kind of song is this going to be? And one of the things you learn in musicals real fast is you want to make sure that you have all different kinds of songs to keep a lot of variety and interest for the audience. And so I had initially started off a lot of songs that, like, shuffle beat or this or that, and they were sounded too much the same. So I went out of my way to create songs that were different. And once I did that, all of it kind of fell into place. And then you always, there's also this overlay about character, should be character driven. And so I finally came up with this. I had this idea about when Meredith Willson's sister is saying goodbye to him. And initially she was just being sad and all this. And there was something about it that didn't seem right. And I said, you know what? I've got to twist this around and make it ironic, make it seem like she's angry at him for leaving. And so the idea was that she says, you can't get, how can you get rid of me? You know, what am I going to, how can I tease you? How can I, you know, blame you for things and all that? So you can't do this to me was the title of the song. And then once I got that idea of you can't do this to me, all these ideas came out about brother, sister, conflicts and how that all showed. And it made it so funny for the audience, because you would think that, you know, she would be so sad he's leaving, and she was just angry at him because, you know, he's leaving her in the loop. She's got to rake the leaves, she's got to, you know, shovel the snow and so forth.
Yeah. Okay. What's the best career advice you've ever received?
That's a great question. You know, I've read so many motivational books and have gotten so many good ideas, but probably the best idea was, and it's kind of, it doesn't sound inspirational. Well, there's two. One is, and I have this on my wall, is the best quote from Winston Churchill. And he got up, and, you know, he's known for talking on and on and on, but he got up in front of Parliament once, and all he said was, never, 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 never quit. And he just sat down, and there was this thunderous applause. So I found that to be very inspiring for me. And then there's this guy named Napoleon Hill, who's got a terrible motivational title for his book, Think and Grow Rich. But the thing that he says is, hey, when it comes to writing songs or writing a book or whatever your project is, think about a time frame when you're going to finish it and write it down. Say, I'm going to do this in 6 months, or I'm going to do this in 1 year. And then write down how much you think you should be paid for it. And, you know, you put down whatever you think that is and make it a little more than you think you should deserve for that. And what happens is, he says, and this is true because it happened for me on a number of occasions, is your subconscious is thinking about that time goal. It's thinking about working towards whatever it is that's worth that higher amount of money. And if you do that correctly and you stick to that, it works. So the example I have is I wrote an article about the American Revolution for American Heritage magazine in 1976, at the 200th anniversary of the American Revolution. And I said, I'm going to write this in 6 months, and I'm going to get $500 for it. And so I sent it out to like 8 publications, and one of the 8 got back to me and said, Randy, we want to publish your article, and we want to give you $500.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really cool. All right. Randy, can you tell us where can people buy your music, stream it, any websites, socials, whatever you want to share with our fans tonight?
Sure, sure. The website is www.spiritofrivercity.com. And on that, there's a video of the song that you just heard on audio in your show. There's also 4 or 5 songs on the songs tab that you can hear songs. And that's where you should get started.
Awesome. So, my friend, it's been an absolute blast having you on the show tonight. I want to thank you so much for being on the show.
Sarantis, thank you so much. It's great questions and a delight to be with you.
You're welcome, Randy. So, to any listeners out there, if you wish to be on the Songwriter Show, please just reach out to me. I want to thank everyone for listening, and I hope your own unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sarantis. Please join me every Tuesday night right here to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories here at the Songwriter Show. Have a great night, everyone. Love you guys.
911, what's your emergency?
The Twin Towers and then the Pentagon. Confusion, hysteria, 4 hijacked airplanes. Almost 3,000 people killed. Others trapped helpless, the air insane. We never had it that bad. Couldn't close our eyes or wish it away. Smoke, metal, fire, flesh, stench, and pain. History and humanity betrayed. Darkness in the middle of the day. Anger in the streets. Where's the relief? We should never forget. Lives lost, families bled. Let's remember 9/11 and the fallen. 9/11 and the fallen. The fallen. 9/11. Pale panic as the day turned black. Millions broken, watching their screens, trying to make sense of the mess. Praying for loved ones and their dreams. All the while cops, firefighters, trusted. Life on the line. Why do we always forget? Forget they're heroes. They do this all the time. Darkness in the middle of the day. Anger in the streets. Where's the relief? We should never forget. Lives lost, families bled.
listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.